Yep.
Interesting.
Sounds good. Okay. Okay, so we're doing the Rivet. So basically, the Rivet is holding. He doesn't like. He thinks the Ram holds like the Rosh, and he doesn't like it. Oh, by the way, Maris found that the Rina Chanano was the Rebbe of the Rif, who was the Rebbe of the Re Migash, who was the Rebbe of the Rama's father, who was the Rebbe of the Rama. So he's his great grand Rebbe. That's right. So that's why. And I saw actually. I looked at the Beis Yosef because it's a little more wordy than the Chazon Mishnah. And he basically said, he implied that was what he's talking about, because he's part of the same group or whatever. So therefore, since we don't, not sure how he holds, there's a good chance he's going like the Rebbe Chanano, who is a part of his heritage, so to speak. So therefore, it's better to assume that way. Okay, and therefore he says, that therefore he's the Mechaber, therefore says he's Paskin that way, that he could let it slide, let the Bracha slide. Right, because that's like the Rambam. The Rebbe Chanano definitely holds that way, and it's a good chance the Rambam holds that way. Whereas the Rama then says, like Moshe says, no. He says the Rosh goes like the other way, and they want to say that the Ravid goes also like the Rosh. The Rosh is funny. The Rosh brings down the Ravid in support of him, but our Ravid doesn't say that. Our Ravid is different. But they say there's two Ravids, I think, two guys named Ravid, but I don't know. Whatever. Okay. So. So that being said, so let's listen. Now the Ravid says like this, our Ravid, and he says, so he, the Ram thinks that, the Ravid thinks the Ram holds like the Rosh, and he says, no, it's not true, you can't make a bracha afterwards, you're already done, after you're done, you can't make a bracha. So he says, oh, so then the Ravid's chiddush is that if you have another drink, if you have something else to drink, he says you should spit it out. Because what's the big deal? So you'll spit out a mouthful of liquid. Big deal. So you won't have anah. It's better to do that than to not have anah without a bracha. Because it's wrong, you have anah without a bracha. But if you don't have anything else and you really want these, so then they allowed you to swallow it and not make them destroyed. And if they're destroyed, then you lose the bracha also. Right? Because you're done. You're not going to be able to make the bracha. Even if you spit them out, it's not like you're going to get the benefit, get the bracha. So therefore, they permitted you to do it. But the question is, what's his logic? I mean, what do you mean? But if you're not allowed to do it, so why are they mati? He says, well, you're not going to make the bracha anyways. Yeah, that's true, but you're not getting the bracha, but you're not going to be eating without a bracha. So isn't it worse if you eat without the bracha? It's true, you spit them out, you're not going to get a bracha, but we're not just trying to get brachas here. What we're saying is that it's a violation to eat without the bracha, so spit it out and don't get the bracha. So how could we understand the Ravid's position in the mix of all these different shittas? But I think that maybe just to get the ball rolling here, I think the question we have to ask, given that we're already so deep into the sugya, is the Ravid talking about the Issa or the Chiyav? Right? I mean, that's something we have to talk about. What's he addressing here? Okay? What's he addressing here? So he says is, let's just read him again. Okay, keep in mind the question, what's he addressing, the Issa or the Chiyav? So he says, if you have more drinks, you shouldn't swallow what's in your mouth, but you should swallow it. And what loss is there? What are you losing? You're just going to lose a little bit of drink. If you lose that, as opposed to having hana without a bracha. But if you don't have anything more and you're pressed for this, they permitted you to swallow these and not to get destroy these, and then you lose the bracha also. Right. So what does it sound like he's addressing? The chiyuv or the isser? Is there isser or is it just the chiyuv? How's he talking? Right. Matir. Right. But I mean, I think the best proof is that he says the Chachamim were matir you, they permitted you to drink it. Right? But it sounds like there's a yesir, but they permitted you under certain circumstances. Under certain press circumstances, they permitted you to do it. That's what he says, that how could you swallow the thing? Just don't swallow it. Big deal. Lose the stuff. And what's the big deal if you lose it, rather, as opposed to having hana without a bracha? It sounds like having hana without a bracha is bad. It's an yesir. So therefore, you have no right to do that. Why are you doing it? Because you don't want to lose a tiny bit of liquid, but it's an isser. So what is why? So you're worried about losing the liquid? Don't worry about the liquid. But if you don't have anything else and you're pressed, and you're not going to get the shevach anyway, so then they permitted you to do it. They permitted you. Right? He's using like this idea, hitirula. It's like they gave him a permit. And I think that's what we have to understand. What do you mean hitirula? If it's also, it's also. What do you mean? What does it even mean? They permitted it for you. should be Asr, Asr, Matar, Matar. What's what kind of statement is that? Fast. Sounds like he's adding that in. Two factors. First of all, you don't have anything else, and also you're pressed for this liquid. So right, if you drank a whole bottle of soda and then you had a little tiny bit left, and then you put it in your mouth and you realize, oops, could be that you say you don't swallow. You know what you need them for? Spit it out. Big deal. But here it is, a big deal, because that's your only drink. You're thirsty and you want it. So look, you already put it in your mouth. You're not gonna make a ruch anyways, and it's you're pressed for the thing. So, but like, what's this combination? You know, what's the combination of factors? And what does it mean the Rabbanan are matir for you? Right. That's what some of them saying. No, it's true. Mara's pointing out, it sounds like he's saying it's not two things. You're pressed, and also, even if you spit it out, you're going to lose the bracha anyways. Implying is that, let's say you're really pressed, and you need to drink 4 ounces of liquid. And you drink two in your mouth, and you realize, oops, forgot to make a bracha. So then it would seem that you have to spit them out, because even though you really need 4 ounces, but the second part of the puzzle, which is that you're going to lose the bracha anyways, doesn't apply. Spit them out and make the bracha and have the
4 ounces. Why do you need the 4 ounces though?
I don't know. Create a case. Whatever case it is, I don't know. What's the idea of that there? I mean, also, like, what's the idea of that there? Like, you're really thirsty. Okay, well, let's say, like, it turns out the only wine drink I could find is the Ayinasa. You know, wine which is poured the object. I said, but I'm really thirsty. It's the only thing I could find. So they can come along and mount there to you. I mean, we don't just push the society serum because you really need it. I mean, you're right, like Chaim said, if it's life and death, then there's nothing to discuss here. We're not talking about life and death. When he said, duck, like, well, you need it, you know what I mean? You're thirsty, there's only a drink you have. So, but if you're thirsty, there's only a drink you have. Will all of a sudden you serum get pushed aside because you're thirsty? And you really need it? Like, what's the deal altogether of this matir? Right? I mean, no one was willing to say this, because what do you mean, we'll just push it aside? I mean, if there's an issur, there's an issur. Everyone is trying to work around the issur somehow. Right? The rabbi just saying, oh yeah, they just went out there.
Maybe it's not life and death.
Yeah, I should...
It's almost like, I'm just thinking of an example. It's like, let's say, I don't know if this is the best example, but like, let's say someone takes your drink, you know, and they're holding the drink, they're about to drink it. You say, hey, that's mine. Give back. So you stop them, right? But let's say you drank it and it's already in his mouth, you know? So are you going to stop the guy and say, hey, that's not mine. Spit it out. You know? He'll say, or he'll try to say, he'll try to signal to you, is, listen, I understand it's yours, and technically I'm stealing if I swallow it. Like, why do I have to swallow it? I mean, I don't know, technically, whatever, you have to do the sigus, but let's say. But look, you're not going to drink it. Like, what do you have to lose? It's not like I'm going to give it back to you anyways. Might as well let me drink it. Is that kind of related? That kind of sounds related, right? Right, it's like kind of like, what do you want me to do? Spit it out. What's that going to accomplish? Bottom line is, look, I'm not making a bracha anyways. Why do you want me? Why should I spit the thing out? Because I can't eat without making a bracha. But I'm not making a bracha. I can't make a bracha. This is the bracha's over, sister. So what do you gain, so to speak, by me not, you know? But you'll say, not so fast, as an answer. Right? It's true. You're not going to gain anything. Right? Torah is the Rabbanan, I can't gain anything, but bottom line is there's an answer. Right? But it could be that's what I was saying. It's like, remember Rashi held there's no real answer? Rashi held is not really an answer, it's a chiyuv. It's a chiyuv to make a bracha, and it's asur to not do the chiyuv. Right? The Ravid says no, it's an answer. It's true, it might be based upon that idea. The reason for the isser is because you're supposed to make a bracha. But bottom line is, halachically, there's an answer. Right, see, that's why, according to Rashi, simply, since you can't do the chiyuv, there's simply no issur anymore. It just falls away. There's no issur, really. There is no issur. The issur is there's no chiyuv. There's no chiyuv because you can't do it. But according to the Ravid, there's a halachic issur. So it's true, it might be the reason for the issur is because you're supposed to be making brachas. But halachically, it's formulated as an issur. So now it's an issur. So now you can't just say, oh, well, I can't do the chiyuv, so therefore, might as well just drink it. It's true in terms of the chiyuv, but now there's an issur. There's an Isser in place. But he says the idea of the Isser is, so to speak, is to prevent the guy from not being a bracha, prevent the guy from being without a bracha. But saying in a certain sense, in this instance, the whole tam of the Isser doesn't really apply. The reason for the Isser is because you don't want to prevent the guy from eating without a bracha. That's wrong. Right? You don't want people eating without a bracha. But in this case, it's not really the, I'm sorry, the tam of the Isser is because you want people making brachas. The idea of the thing is you want people to make brachas, and the Isser is, so to speak, a way to force people to make brachas. It sets up another, there's an Isser. But here, that's not going to be accomplished. The Isser is not an Isser for the sake of making people. For instance, it's not treif, it's not that God doesn't want you to eat this food or the Rabbanan don't want you to eat this food. The idea of the Isser is we want you to make brachas. So even if halachically it's formulated as an Isser, prohibition, the idea behind the Isser is forcing you to make a bracha. It's an Isser whose purpose is to force you to make a bracha. It's not just a nice optional thing, it's not just a thief, but it's an Isser. It's a prohibition. You're not allowed to be involved in eating without first making a bracha. But here, it's like you have the form of the Isser, because it's an Isser, but the whole idea of the thing is this is to force me to make a bracha. But I can't make a bracha here. I'm not going to make a bracha. Even if I keep the Isser, I'm not going to make a bracha. All right? So, but halach ba myself is an Isser. What he's saying is, but if it's a pressing situation, the Rabbanan matter it. There's the combination of the fact that this isn't really the idea of the Isser. This isn't really the idea of the Isser. Right? Because the idea of the Isser is to make sure to get the guy to make a bracha, to do an achila with bracha as opposed to an achila without a bracha. This isn't really the idea of the Isser. Now, but still there is the form of the Isser is still in place, but since it's a shasat chak, it's a pressed situation, so they're going to push it aside. They allowed you to be to go against them. They're matir. But if it's just the guy was pressed, but the Isser is, like he drinks too, he has 2 ounces in his mouth, but the whole idea of the Isser is the Rabbanan want you to eat with bracha as opposed to eat without a bracha. So spit it out and make it eat with the bracha. So that's the idea there. So the idea of the Isser is a method of preventing a person from eating without a bracha and forcing to eat with a bracha. So if that's available, so then you chaya, then the Isser is in place and you got to spit it out and make the bracha. But if that's not an option, then the whole idea of the Isser doesn't really make sense here. But now it's true, there's the form of the Isser, so without a shasat chak, the Rabbanan aren't going to say that they're not going to matir it. Because Balman is, there's the law. So therefore, they're permitting you in under pressing circumstances. It would be like, for instance, it's like, let's say you say there's a law that you're not allowed to go through a red light. You know? You're not allowed to go through a red light, that's a law. Right? So you'll say, let's say it's the middle of the night. It's the middle of the night and there's no cars around. So could you go through a red light? Right? So we'll say no. Because look, the whole reason for the law doesn't apply here. They'll say, but it's a law. You can't just push aside a law. No, you can't just push aside a law. Right? Let's say in another case. Let's say there's a red light, but I'm really in a rush. Or there's an emergency. Or not an emergency like dangerous, but like I'm really, really in a rush. You know, there's an unusual circumstance which makes me in a rush and I have to go and I need to go through the red light. Right? It's the middle of the day though. Okay? Middle of the day. So I'll say you can't do it because it's dangerous. So you're in a big rush. But it's dangerous, right? I mean, how can you go through that? It's a dangerous move. So you're in a rush. Okay, big deal. You're in a rush, but it's dangerous. But let's say you combine those two factors. It's the middle of the night, and you're in an especially unique rush. Okay? So let's say it's like, in terms of the whole reason for the law, it doesn't really apply. It's the middle of the night, no one's around. You know, now it's true. I understand. I appreciate there's a law, and you can't just have a law that anytime any guy is, you know, as this is, anytime a guy is in the middle of the night, you don't have the law. That's not the law. The law is you can't go through red lights. But here, this is not, I'm not just saying that you're going to deny the law. This is a situation which is a shasal tach situation. It's a present situation. So you could say, is they'd allow you to do that. They're not going to allow you to do it in the case where the idea of the law applies. It's really dangerous. And that's not going to help. That's not going to help. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. And even if it's the middle of the night, they're also not going to let you because the law exists. It's the law is across the board type of a thing. But the combination of the fact that this isn't the idea behind the law, and the fact is that it's a pressing situation, they're going to matir for you. But it has to really be pressing. See, since it's a matir, and this is I think the Raven's point as opposed to the others, since it's a matir, once you say it's a matir, it means the Rabbanan are pushing aside an Isser for you. They're not going to push it aside if you have a whole big cup of water left. You have a huge, huge cup of water, and you have one sip in your mouth. Why are they mothering it? So you could enjoy every single last ounce of the thing. Just spit it out. What are you going to gain? Big deal. So you lose a little bit of water. So they're not going to mother an Isser because you can get every last drop. There's no sense to that. But if you say that there is no Isser, that it really means, like the Rashi, there's no Isser because there is a Chiv and I can't do the Chiv, then I don't have to say, what do I gain in the last straw? Why don't I just make the Bracha on the other thing? There's simply no Isser. There's only a Chiv. The Isser is to ignore the Chiv. The Chiv can't be done, so therefore why not? Might as well swallow it. But once you posit there's an Isser and you say that it's a Matir, the Matir isn't taken lightly. Matir, you have to show just the reason for the for to have the Matir. Right, the Rinnah Hananel, for instance, says there's no Isser. Right, the Rinnah Hananel also, like Rashi, holds there's no Isser, for different reasons. He holds no Isser because the thing isn't a drink. So once it's not an Isser, then you can just swallow it. Why not? What's the point of not swallowing it? What do you gain? It's only a Chiyuv, and I can't do the Chiyuv. But the Ravid's Chiddush is that it is an Isser. But they're matiring the Isser. They're matiring the Isser. You say, well, is there a way to circumvent that? Do I have to be matired? Or what are the other possibilities? If I have another option, then I can be matired. If you're only matired, if you need it. And also, just because you need it, then I can matir the Isser. Every time you're thirsty, and I can be matired the Isser. Maybe you need it, make the bracha first. But here I can't make the bracha, and I'm not going to be able to make the bracha. And the whole idea of the Isser is to force the Isser to make sure I make a bracha. But there's no way I can't make a bracha. It's history. The bracha is going to be lost. Spinning it out isn't going to help in terms of bracha. So the idea of the bracha, the idea of the Isser is to make sure the guy makes a bracha. So then they basically, then they're matar. It's interesting because it's a whole different idea, a whole different approach to the sugya, a whole different way to get around the problem. Right? So it turns out we have four different ways to get around the problem. Is that how do you, what gives you a right to drink without a bracha? Isn't it an Isser? So Rashi says, no, altogether there's no Isser. You're making a mistake. You think it's an Isser, it's really a Chiyuv. Right? And here you can't do the Chiyuv. Rabbi Hanano says, there usually is an Isser. Here there's not an Isser because of the Ravid. And there are. Here's not an Isser because it's not edible. The Ravid says, oh yeah, it is an Isser, but here, because of the unique pressing circumstance and the whole reason doesn't apply, they might have the Isser. And the Rosh says, what are you talking about? You are making a Bracha. You are making a Bracha. You're making a Bracha afterwards. And the nature of bracha is not a permit. The Isser is not to eat without making bracha first. The Isser is to have a eating, an non-bracha eating. But the bracha, the eating could be qualified by bracha afterwards, and it'll still be a eating of bracha. Right? I mean, it's all dealing with the same issue in the Gemara, but four totally different ways. Give you a permit. I mean, I think the real answer is the question. The question is, Matt's asking about, is an Isser, is an Isser. So how do you just matir an Isser? It's very nice, it's a good story that it's not the reason, and it's really hard, but bottom line is, it's an Isser. But I think the answer is that it's an Isser d'Rabbanan. If it were an Isser d'Oraisa, it definitely wouldn't happen. I mean, if the Torah said you can't do it, you can't do it, Rabbanan can't come along and say, oh yeah, by the way, it's really important, so we'll say you can do it. But the whole Isser is an Isser d'Rabbanan, and I don't think it means like some guy just came along 10 years ago and says, hey, you know what, we're going to want there. I think it means it's built into the thing, that there's a permit. That the whole are either built in or the Rabbana, however they have a right to do it. But it's like, halachically, it's built in that there's a permit under these circumstances. That it's an extraneous, it's a super ad extraneous permit. So in other words, other ones are trying to build it into the structure itself, that the Isser doesn't apply here. The Ravid is saying is that the Isser intrinsically does apply, but the Rabbana recognized the idea of a difficult circumstance in which the whole time of the thing doesn't apply, and therefore there's a built-in dispensation for an exception, for a permit. Just like you could have a law in a country, you could have a law, but they could say there's a certain exception. Now why, what's the idea of the exception? It's a super-added thing. It's not every exception is built into the structure of the thing. It could be an exception for a good reason. Like if there's a permit.
So would you say it's
like this? It's like, you know, it's like an emergency. This is an example. Like, you could drive in the shoulder in an emergency. It's not the law that, like, you know, you're not allowed to drive in the shoulder unless it's an emergency. I mean, you're not allowed to drive in the shoulder. Shoulders aren't for driving for. But we understand that there is a shoulder. It's an emergency. How else you can get to the hospital? It's dangerous. So they'll say, well, we'll allow you to do it. But it doesn't, it's a permit. It doesn't mean the law is that you're only allowed, that you're only not allowed to drive on the shoulder when there's no emergencies. The law in the book says you're not allowed to drive on the shoulder. It doesn't say you're only driving the shoulder in non-emergency situations or whatever. But it's understood that if you're in an emergency and your life is on the line or you have to get to the hospital to deliver a baby or whatever, it's any cop, anybody, it's, so to speak, an understood thing that there's a permit. Maybe it's even in a book somewhere that says it. But it's said in the book not as like part of the law. It's an exception. There's such a thing as exceptions, as permits. where certain circumstances don't matter, certain difficult situations, unusual circumstances, there's an idea of a permit. I mean, you could see why the others didn't want to go this way. It's a chiddush. I mean, it's a chiddush to say this. I'm not saying it's not a chiddush, but there is a, I think the Ravid's saying it here, I know you could say that, it sounds like he's saying it's a permit, there's a phenomenon of a permit. I mean, maybe I could try to think of other examples where things like this come up. Where you have a permit, but, you know, certain things are mutter and shas etcha. There's a phenomenon like that, I mean, where it's a difficult situation. I mean, usually, the isser is to eat. The difference is, there's a difference between two types of built into a law. According to Rabbeinu Chananel, it's really built into the law that you could eat in this circumstance. Because the isser is to eat a food, an objective food, without a bracha, and this is not an objective food. So it's built in that this circumstance is permitted. It's intrinsically built in. The way the law is formulated intrinsically does not apply to this case. But the Ravid's way, intrinsically, this is eating. This is a food, and this is eating, and there's no bracha. And intrinsically, the thing really is falls right smack under the law. But the reason for the law doesn't make sense here. It's really difficult and taxing on the person. So built into the law book, the Rabbanon said that you're allowed to violate the law under this circumstance. But it's not like the law doesn't apply. It's a permit to violate it. It's a permit to go against the law. It's not woven into the fabric of the law that this is a case.
In this particular case.
Yeah, this is a particular case.
There's just a general rule in the law books that says in the case of the reason not existing and there being a major
illness. Law, you could go against it, exactly. But as opposed to, it's not woven into the fabric of the law. It's an extraneous exemption or extraneous permit. You know, but like a right on red isn't an extraneous permit. That's the very law. And not making a bracha, not no isra on something which isn't a food, isn't an exception. It's built into the thing. Just from this funny case. It's funny. I mean, it's funny how sometimes like a funny case could bring out concepts in an area which you wouldn't have discovered without having a funny case. It's like critical experiments and in science and things like that. You know, like you have if no one ever did or rubbed, I think I said, like, no one ever rubbed the rubber against the ball, or, and you have these crazy things that happen. You know, they discover electricity because of, I don't know, flying a kite. Or, I don't know, these like funny situations, which there are laws which are intrinsic in nature, which they're so much, but they're invisible, so to speak. They're intrinsic, but they're invisible. And it's only through a certain rare case that could help, like a crucial experiment that could bring out the nafkaminas, the practical differences, and say, wait a second, we're not understanding this properly, because if we really understand this properly, why would this be happening? You know, like the speed of light, they realize they're going the same speed, you know, same speed as everything. That's weird, and that's because of that, you get to discover relativity. But if you never realize that, you'd never discover that your theory was wrong. So it's like, my point is that sometimes funny cases, exceptional, unusual cases, could sometimes be the cases which help shed light on the underlying concepts in an area. You know what I mean? Like, so that's what I'm saying here. If you just want to know what are all the ideas in Bracha Rishon, is there an Isser, is there a prohibition, is there a Chiyuv, is there whatever? If you just know the basic halacha, you have to make a bracha when you eat, you're not going to be able to know any of these ideas. This doesn't bring them out. I mean, everyone's going to say, in your average case, or in Chanan Rashi, everyone agrees, even though their concept is totally different, but they're going to say the same thing. Oh yeah, before you eat, make a bracha. Their Shulchan Aruch is going to say the exact same thing. Before you eat, make a bracha. But it's like in this rare, funny case, you end up getting down to what's the underlying svara for how that whole area is working. And it's only the case that brings it out. So the case is not... And of course you need a case, but the part of the importance of the case is that it brings out the underlying theories which are involved in different positions. So that's why people oftentimes, you know, look at Gemara's trivialities. Why are you considering these crazy cases? You know, these funny types of cases. But the cases themselves are indicative of underlying principles. And when the Gemara asks a crazy sounding question, it's because in the question, packed into this question, which is practical, it has to be practical, but the resolution to it is based on a whole theoretical understanding of the thing. Just like someone would look at a scientist and say, what are you doing, you crazy scientist? You're taking atoms and smashing them against each other. What kind of crazy thing is that? Why are you doing that? You say, well, that's the way we're going to discover the underlying particles in nature. So it's a crazy thing to do, but intrinsically, but it's because it's an experiment which could yield great produce in terms of discoveries. So similarly, Chazal Gemara has asked questions. Let's say a guy. I mean, this is not such a let's say because this happens all the time, right? I mean, it's not. But sometimes they ask questions. Let's say something happens. Well, then what's the halacha? You say, well, how often does that happen? Yes, it doesn't have to be that often, but that question could be a critical question in terms of understanding the underlying principles in the area. A good example of this I found when I did a sugya is the question of avelos. When you study avelos, mourning, laws of mourning, the first gemara you used to do, if you do the Nemargata, the first case which comes up is what happens when you're mourning and then it runs into the yantav. A yantav cancels it out. The clash between mourning and yantav, and how what it does to shiva, what it does to shloshim, what it does to the year, and it's like through the case of the clash, you're forced to understand what's the idea of shiva. How does shiva work? How does the count work? And all the different svaras start coming out because when you study how the collide, like how particles collide, when you have a collision between two counter forces, it forces you to understand what's the nature of these forces, and you get insight into what avelos is through the rare case when avelos and the outcome when avelos clashes with yantav, and insight which you wouldn't necessarily be able to know if you just open up the Shulchan Aruch and says, oh yeah, when you're mourning, you should do this and you should do this and you should do this and you should do that, for 7 days. Yeah, but what's the nature of the count of 7 days? How does the count formulate? How is it set up? Are the days defined? Is it just like the person should be knowing, should do it for 7 days? Like, yeah, what all the concepts of the thing emerge from that case of the conflict, So this is kind of interesting. It's interesting the way knowledge works, is that oftentimes the way to get that knowledge is not through a direct route, but it's through sometimes indirect avenues. Any further questions? So I guess next week we'll try to start, next week, Monday and Tuesday, we're not going to have shiur. Maybe at the wedding, but hopefully Wednesday we'll start on Beitza. I'll try to send an email around. But basically we're going to start at the beginning of the second parak. The beginning of the second parak. Okay, I think there's a more in Beitza there, in Pesachim that we have to do first. I'll send an email to you guys to let you know what to do.